Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Neviim Rishonim. Today's share will focus on Shmuel Bet, Perek Chet and Tet, chapters 8 and 9 in Shmuel Bet. And we will also try to understand how the unit that began in Perek He and will end in Perek Chet will be so important in appreciating what's happening in the book of Shmuel. Let's begin with a quick overview of Perek Chet and noticing its opening words, Vayach Rechen, after the events of the previous Perek, Vayach David et HaPlishtim, Vayach Niem. David attacks the Plishtim. And then we talk about how afterwards he attacks Moab and then Aram Tzova. We're going to have a very short description of all the battles in the areas that David is able to win and how he defeats the enemies all around the country. And this is after the events in Perek Zayin. What happened in chapter 7? Recall that David HaMelech requested from God to build a house, to build a Beit HaMikdash. And God's answer wasn't a flat no. Rather, God's answer was, not now, not yet, but your son will build one. And we explained that David had thought that he had reached the level of Menucha v'Nachala. He thought that he had reached the level of stability and quiet that was necessary to build a house for God. And God answered him, indeed, you reached a certain level of stability, much more than any leader beforehand. However, the level of stability and quiet that's necessary to build a house for God, you haven't reached it. First, you have to have a son who will take over your monarchy. He'll be an Ish Menucha. He'll be a man of peace and ishalom, and he'll be able to build a house for God. We also saw how David HaMelech thanks God profusely to be given this opportunity to begin this monarchy that will be able to build this house for God. And in our chapter, in Perek Chet, like we saw also in Divrei Hayamim, David is going to remember this and make every effort possible to get everything ready to build the Mikdash. What happens in Perek Chet now flows beautifully from Perek Zayin. Again, in Perek Zayin, God tells David, not you, but your son. And God also tells David, you haven't reached Menucha v'Nachala, the level which is necessary to build a Mikdash. What does David do in Perek Chet? David finishes his conquests. Here we see he finishes conquering the Plishtim. That's in Pasuk Aleph. In Pasuk Bet, he conquers Moab. That's the Plishtim, our enemy to the west. Moab is our enemy to the east. Then there's a war in Pasuk Gimel and Dalet. We talk about how David fights Hadezer ben Rehob, the king of Tzoba, which is Aram Tzoba, which is the north, on his way to Nahar Prat, on the way to the Euphrates. David is expanding his borders. And in that battle, he captures a lot of horses and chariots. And we're told how he hamstrings, I'm not sure exactly how you translate the word, Vayaker, but he takes the horses and makes them useless, except for 100. There we see a beautiful example of how David HaMelech fulfills the commandment of the Torah that's given to the king in chapter 17 of Sefer Devarim, where the king has three overriding principles, lo yabelo susim, he can't have too many horses, meaning he can't have too big of an army, lo yabelo nashim, not too many wives or not too many political alliances, v'lo yabelo kesef zahav, not to overdo his budget and have problems of overspending and too much glory, but rather he has to keep all those things which are important but keep them to a limit. Finding the right limit will be exactly the challenge that the king of Israel has to find. He has to be able to, on the one hand, to build a strong country. On the other hand, not to let that strength and power get to his head. And the Torah tells us to limit as much as you need for the needs of your country, but not the needs that you would want just simply to show off. And here we have a beautiful example in Perek Chet, how David fulfills that commandment by only keeping 100 chariots for his army and the rest making useless. Then, in the end of Pasuk Vav, after we're told about all of David's military victories, and how all these countries, be it Aram and be it Moab, that surround Israel, are now going to be subservient to David. Not that they're slaves to David, but Avadim means Nosei Mincha, they pay a tax. Meaning we're the, you could call a superpower in the area now. And the neighboring countries pay tax to us. Then we're told in the end of Pasuk Vav, Vayosh Hashem et David b'chol asher halach. God helped and gave salvation to David everywhere he went to fight. Then we're told how Toi, the king of Hamat, which is also up north in Syria, that David defeated one of his enemies, and the king of Hamat sends a present to David, gives him a beautiful present of klei kesef u klei zahav v'nechoshet, of gold and silver and copper. And here we're told in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Gam otam higdish ha-melech David l'Hashem im ha-kesef ha-zav asher higdish mikol ha-goyim asher kibesh. What did David do with all the presents he received? And what did he do with all the booty which he was able to amass from all the battles that he was successful in against the enemies of Israel? He took all of that wealth and he dedicated it to God. What does it mean he dedicated it to God? He dedicated it to build the house for God. We're going to see the details in a future shir in Divrei Hayamim and see how much money and materials David gathered in order to build a house for God. David himself will not live to see it put together, but David is going to get all the materials ready and give everything over to Shlomo so that when Shlomo becomes king, he can build a house right away. Here we see another example of another neighboring country who begins to make peace with David. We saw before Hiram, the king of Tsor, and now we have Towi, the king of Hamat, and therefore our neighbors to the north are now going to have positive and productive relationships with us, and our neighbors to the east and west are going to fear us and be paying taxes to us and recognizing our authority over the area that we're living in. Perachet continues to explain how David has more military victories. In the list of the enemies which he conquered, where he dedicated the money to God, to the Beit HaMikdash, we have Aram and Pasuk Yud-Bet, we have Aram and Moab and Bnei Ammon. That's our eastern border from the north to the south. Plishtim to the west, Amalek to the south. And from the Shlav had Ezer, Melech Tzova, also to the north, to the northeast. And then we're told in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayas David Shem, B'shuvo Me'akot et Aram B'gei Melech, Shmunas Aleph. David made a name for himself in his battle in the area of Yam HaMelech against Aram. And also, he was able to defeat or control Edom. Edom was more to the south already, south and to the east. Vayasem Edom Nitzivim, there were like governors overlooking and controlling the area on behalf of Israel and Edom, just like Plishtim had Nitzivim in the land of Israel when Shaul first became king, and Shaul was able to kick them out. Now we're in a position of military power where we have Nitzivim in the land of Edom. And then we're told at the end of Pasuk Yedavad, Vayosh Hashem et David b'chol asher halach. Just like we saw earlier, everywhere where David went, David Hashem gave him salvation. What the Perek is telling us is, from a prophetic point of view, is quite obvious. David, on the one hand, was very successful. On the other hand, the reason for his success was because God was with him. And David reciprocates and thanks God for all the wealth which he was able to amass and all the victories which he was able to achieve. Number one, by dedicating all that wealth to build a house for God. And we'll see later on how this is reflected in the book of Tehillim, in many Mizmorim, which David writes, in which he thanks God for all the victories in his battles. Now he dedicates his life to use those victories in the service of God. And now we reach the key pasuk in Perachet. After summarizing all these battles and explaining how David finally does achieve Menucha v'Nachala, and how David finally does achieve Hashem Hiniach lo Mikol Oyvav Misaviv, now from all his enemies around him, he finally does have rest. And now we're much closer to the prerequisite of a nation to be able to build a house for God. Now we simply have to wait for his son to take over and to establish himself as the monarch of Israel, the son of David, and have peace and quiet in his time. He'll be able to build a house for God like we saw in our previous year. Now we have a beautiful summary pasuk of David HaMelech's time period in Pasuk Tetvav. Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael, that's a classic example of a summary pasuk. David reigned over all of Israel. Vayhi David oseh mishpat utztaka l'chol amo. What was David known for? David did tzedek u'mishpat for his whole nation. This is followed in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Tiyut Chet, by a list of David HaMelech's cabinet, the people closest to him, his advisors, his generals, his interior minister, the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash, and also the Kohanim of David. The children of David were representing, I think the last line there where it says, Uvnei David Kohanim Hayu, it doesn't mean they were priests working in the Beit HaMikdash. Those priests are Tzadok and Achimelech, Ben Yavetar, mentioned in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Rather, a Kohen is someone representing someone. If you're representing God, you're Kohenei Hashem. If you're representing the monarchy, if you're representing the state of Israel to its people, then you're also a type of a Kohen. And in this sense, David's sons represented the country to the people. In a certain way, you could call them like ministers helping him run the country. But if we identify Psukim Tet Zayin to Yud Chet, verses 16 to 18, as a description of David's cabinet summarizing that time period, the key pasuk, which summarizes this entire unit, is going to be, again, Pasuk Tetvav. David was king over all of Israel, and what was he known for? Vahi David oseh, David did, mishpat utztaka l'chol amo. It's not by chance that the Navi uses those two words, mishpat utztaka, to describe what David HaMelech had accomplished as a king of Israel. We never see a similar phrase at all by Shaul. Shaul established a kingdom, but he made no effort to build a house for God. Nor do we see any example or any description of Shaul doing tzedek and mishpat for his entire nation. Tzedek and mishpat meaning justice and righteousness. That phrase, though, anyone familiar with Chumash, with Nevi'im, especially Nevi'im Achronim, knows how central it is to the idea of a Jewish nation. To explain its importance, let's take a quick look back in Sefer Bereshit, Perek Yudchet, in chapter 18 in the book of Bereshit, where we have the story of the three angels who come to tell Avram Avinu that Sarah is going to have a baby, she'll have a son, and his name will be Yitzchak. And those angels later continue on to destroy Sodom. And there we're told in a very interesting manner, we finally find out for what reason God chose the Jewish people. If you recall in your study of Sefer Bereshit, which talks about how God chooses the Jewish nation, Avram Avinu is chosen in chapter 12 after God is disappointed over and over again with the behavior of mankind beforehand. God chooses Avram Avinu, tells him to make Aliyah, promises him a land, promises him to be a great nation, that he'll be a blessing for all mankind, sets aside a land for him, makes a lot of promises about greatness and blessing. But we're never told in the beginning what was God's plan or purpose in choosing Avram Avinu. And at first glance, it sounded simply like a lot of privileges. However, in Perek Yudchet, after God promises Avram Avinu that he'll have a son Yitzchak, and Yitzchak will continue his legacy, and he'll be the forefather of this nation, Chumash tells the reader, in a very beautiful way, the reason why God chose Avram Avinu. In Perek Yudchet, in chapter 18, you can look in Pasuk Yud Zayin, in verse 17, Hashem says, in essence, Chumash is telling the reader, Vashem amar hamchaseh anim Avram asher ani aseh, can I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? And then we have a beautiful link to the beginning of Lech Lecha, explaining why Avram was chosen. Again, in chapter 18, verse 18, it's easy to remember this pasuk. It's Chai Chai in Gematria, 18:18. Chumash tells the reader as follows. Va'avram ha'yo yiyeh lo goy gadol v'atzum. Avram is destined to become a great nation. V'nivru chuvo kol goy ha'aretz. And through him, there will be blessing brought to all the nations of the world. It means if Avram follows God's commandments and becomes a nation that God wants him to become, that will bring blessing to all mankind. What was the reason for this chosenness? Ki dativ, HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to us again, because I've come to know him. Not that God knows, but God came to know him. Ki dativ. God chose Avram. He came to know Avram. He enters this relationship with Avram Avinu for a purpose. Leman, in order. Asher yitzaved banav ved beito acharav, in order that he would command his children and they their children. V'shamru derech Hashem, they would follow the way of God, lasot tzedakah mishpat, to do tzedakah mishpat, to do what's right and just. Laman havi Hashem al Avram et asher diber alav, in order that God will bring about upon Avram what he said about him. He said about Avram that he would bring blessing to mankind. How will this come about? Not in a magical way, but in a very practical way. If Avram follows the mission and the destiny that God gives him and becomes a forefather of this nation, and this nation indeed follows God's laws and his covenant, which is about doing tzedek mishpat, there will be this model nation, a nation known to all the neighbors around them, carrying the name of God, carrying what's called Shem Hashem. They'll call out in God's name, but as they call out in God's name, there'll be a nation, people, doing and known and characterized by doing tzedek mishpat. It's exactly that theme that we see in Sefer Shmot, when we receive the Torah on Parsha Yitro and followed by the laws on Parsha Mishpatim. But after we receive the Ten Commandments and enter a covenant with God, the first large group of laws which we receive immediately afterwards, which are recorded primarily in Parsha Mishpatim, are going to be about Mishpat. The Mishpatim will be laws for Beitin, civil law, which is a beautiful example over a chapter and a half from all Perek Chaf Aleph and half of Perek Chaf Bet talk about Mishpatim that go to the court system that the Jewish people have to upkeep and follow, followed by a second set of laws, the second half of Perek Chaf Bet, that talk about tzedakah, about ethics, about morals, about a way of life, which begins with the famous Pasuk in Perek Chaf Bet, Pasuk Chaf, in chapter 22, verse 20, in Parshat Mishpatim. V'ger lo toneh, not to cheat a stranger, v'lo techetzena, not to oppress him, ki gerim haitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt, and therefore you know what it's like. And also, kol ha'manav yatom lo tanun, don't afflict a widow or an orphan. And he goes on about lending money, about being a good citizen, about not taking shochad, about returning lost items even to people you don't like, bidvar sheker terchak. And then we end that unit in chapter 23, verse 9, in Perachav Gimel Pasik Tet, v'ger lo terchatz, again, not to afflict or oppress a stranger, v'atem, you, the people of Israel, yidatem et nefesh ager, ki gerim heitem beretz Mitzrayim. You yourselves were once strangers in Egypt. You know what it feels like. And when you become a nation, don't you dare do that to somebody else. And that concludes the second section in Parshat Mishpatim, the laws of tzedakah. So what we see beautifully in Sefer Shmot is that after we formalize our covenant with God, we come out of Egypt, we become His nation, we enter a covenant to be Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, to be a nation set aside to represent God, we get our first set of laws, the Ten Commandments, followed by a more detailed set of laws, which we call Parshat Mishpatim, which includes a beautiful example of how to apply the concept of Mishpat Tzedakah to a nation. Even a more detailed version of this we're going to find in the book of Devarim and also in Sefer Vayikra, in the other laws we'll receive in the Torah. But this concept that we have a nation whose primary purpose is to do Tzedakah Mishpat, and by doing so there'll be a model nation which will represent God to all mankind. That is a basic idea that develops in the book of Bereshit and Shemot, and it is David HaMelech who is finally able to achieve that as he establishes his kingdom. And if we want to appreciate, from a prophetic point of view, what is so important about David, and why is David known as Mashiach, and why does God choose David over anyone else to become the example of leadership which the Jewish people have to follow, It's because he's able to achieve this goal. He's able to lead a nation and form a nation who is characterized by doing tzedakah mishpat. We'll see later how this goal is going to be achieved by son Shlomo in the early years of his reign as we continue our study into Sefer Melachim in the Shurim to follow. But if we return to Chumash, after we have Parsha Mishpatim and we have our first sampling of laws and set of laws to talk about how we have to act as a nation, then we fortify this covenant in chapter 24 at the end of Parshat Mishpatim with another covenant called Brit Naseh V'Nishma. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai, receives another set of laws, which includes Parshat Truma and the laws of building the Mishkan. And if you look at the Ramban in the very beginning of Parshat Truma, before he begins his Pasuk by Pasuk explanation, he has a beautiful introduction to why does the Mishkan follow the laws in Parshat Mishpatim? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu go up to receive the laws of the Mishkan after receiving the Ten Commandments in Parshat Mishpatim? He gives a beautiful analogy of how first the Jewish people have to accept being God's nation. They have to accept their covenantal responsibility. They have to receive the first set of laws that are about Tzedek Mishpat. And then they've reached the level in order to be a nation representing God, and then they can have a symbol of their purpose, which will be the Mishkan. And that way he explains why the Mishkan is so important, why the Mishkan becomes a symbol of the covenant at Har Sinai, and why the Mishkan is necessary for the Jewish people to remember their special connection to God and the whole concept of Shechinah. If you follow that Ramban and read it carefully, you'll see how beautifully it connects to the theme in Sefer Shmuel. Because David HaMelech in Perek Zayin wanted to build a house for God. God tells him, yes, but not yet. You think you're ready, but you're not ready enough. In order to be totally ready, again, from a technical point of view, David has to have a son who will succeed him, who will be a man of peace and quiet, and will have to finish all these battles that David is able to complete in his own lifetime. But we still can't build a house for God unless Tzedek HaMishpat becomes the primary character of the Jewish people. And in that sense, when chapter 8 ends with this beautiful summary that David did Tzedek HaMishpat L'chol Amo, now we're ready to appreciate why David is able to set the groundwork for Shlomo to build the Beit HaMikdash. To support our presentation in this year, we simply need to read a beautiful chapter in Tehillim, Tehillim Ayin Bet, Psalm 72, Tehillim Ayin Bet, in the book of Tehillim. It's a beautiful Mizmor Tehillim, it's a beautiful psalm written by David for the sake of his son Shlomo. The opening word is Lishlomo, not by Shlomo. It's not Mizmor, not a Mizmor written by Shlomo, but it's a psalm written for Shlomo by David. And listen to how David gives a beautiful charge of what he hopes his son will do. And we'll see how this theme of Tzedek and Mishpat comes shining through. Lishlomo, again, Tehillim Ayin Bet. Elohim mishpatecha lemelech tein, v'tzitatcha leven melech. Yedin amcha b'tzedek v'yanecha b'mishpat. Notice how the key words that David is hoping that his son Shlomo will do, will be doing Tzedek and Mishpat. As you recall, when Shlomo becomes king, we have a famous story about the Mishpat that he does, with the two babies, with the two mothers claiming, one of them, both claiming to be the mother of the same child. And how he's able to resolve that and do Mishpat is only one example of how Shlomo Melech does Tzedek and Mishpat for his nation as well. And that allows Shlomo to be the person to put the Beit HaMikdash together. In Tehillim Ayin Bet, we return out of Pasuk Gimel. Yisu harim shalom la'am, ugvot bitztaka. Yishpot aniyei am. He should judge the poor people of the nation. Yoshia livnei avyon. He should bring salvation to the downtrodden. Vidakei oshek. He should put down oppression. You can take a look at the rest of the parak. I simply want to skip to Pasuk Yud Aleph about this idea of how we represent God. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, vayishtachavu lo chol melachim, all other kings will bow down to him. Kol goyim yavdu, all other nations will serve him. Notice we saw how all these nations in Perek Ched are serving David. But why should they serve him? In Pasuk Yud Bet, the psalm explains, ki yatzil avyon mishaveya va'ani ve'in ozer lo. Why will David become famous? Why will other nations come and look up to him? Because he's able to save the downtrodden and the poor under hardship, and he'll help the poor person when no one else is there to help him. He continues in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yachos Adal V'Avyon, who have mercy on the poor and the needy. V'Nafshot Avyonim Yoshia, he'll bring salvation again to the downtrodden. U'mitoch U'michamas Yigal Nafsham, he'll save them from other people's iniquity. V'Yikar Damam Yedav. He goes on and on. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yishmo Lo'olam, Lifnei Shemesh, Yinon Shmo V'Yidbarchu Vo Kol Goyim Yashua. Then we end with Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael Senefil Elavado, psukim which we quote every day in Psukei Dezimra. If you have time, take a look. If you have a translation, if you want to understand all the words, look in Tehillim Ayin Bet in Psalm 72, and you have a beautiful snapshot of who David HaMelech is, his message and his hope for his son, and you'll begin to appreciate much better why David identify David HaMelech as Mashiach Hashem, the leader who will bring salvation to the Jewish people. If we had another 5 hours, we can bring another couple hundred examples of this phrase, Tzedek U'Mishpat, all through Nevi'im Achronim, the first chapter in Yishayahu. It's classic, ending the Haftarah, which we read on Shabbat Chazon before Tisha B'Av, Tzion B'Mishpati Fadeva Shaveh B'Tztaka, salvation, redemption of the Jewish people will come by Am Yisrael doing Tzedek U'Mishpat, Yishayahu Perakei, the famous Mashal HaKerem, Yirmiyahu, over and over again, uses that phrase. Maybe we'll dedicate later a shir to that idea, as we continue to say for Shmuel. But for the purpose of today's shir, I wanted to explain why it was so important in our study to identify this unit from Perakei Dechet. Perakei began, Ben Shloshim Shana David B'Mocho, we identified the unit, we're going to attribute this unit to the Navi Natan. The unit begins with David becoming king over all of Israel, everyone accepting him. The first step David does is moves his capital to Yerushalayim, then he brings the Aron to Yerushalayim. He wants and expresses his desire to build a house for God in Yerushalayim. He dedicates all his victories and takes all that wealth and uses it to get everything ready to build a house for God in Yerushalayim. He brings salvation to his people from all the enemies around them. He's able to subdue all the enemies. He's able to secure the borders of Israel, would reach Menucha v'Nachala in his time period from a political point of view, from an economic point of view, from a security point of view, and also finally from a religious point of view. David is able to bring the Jewish people to the level which will enable them to fulfill the biblical goal to be this Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, to be this nation representing God that will bring God's name to all mankind. Again, the wars that David has to fight are necessary. They're a question of survival against the enemies who wanted to wipe us out, who wanted to take over our country. But now that David has established himself as a nation, now it's time to pass over to the next generation, to Shlomo, this concept of being an ish menucha, ki shalom v'sheket yabe amav, to be a man of peace and a man of quiet, and that will enable the proper atmosphere when the Jewish people can build a house for God and make God's name known, and that can become a central gathering place, not only for the Jewish people, but for all mankind, as Yishayahu talks about in Perek Bet, ki mitzion teitzei Torah, udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, all the nations will come and say, let's go up to the mountain of God and learn from his ways, because Torah will come out of Tzion and Dvar Hashem from Yerushalayim. Again, it's not giving justice to this topic to do it so quickly, but for the purpose of our share, I try to identify why it's important to realize this unit that talks about David building the Beit HaMikdash concludes with the summary pasuk that David is known for doing tzedek u'mishpat l'chol amo. It's not just a sentence in passing. It's the key theme and explains the connection between what's necessary within the Jewish people to establish before you're able to build a house for God and make God's name known to the nations around us. The next unit in Sefer Shmuel is going to begin with Perek Tet. In our next show, we're going to have to spend much more time to identify where it begins and where it ends. But I would simply like to read the first pasuk. In our next show, we'll explain why this is part of a different unit and how it fits into the next set of chapters. But it also forms a beautiful transition between Perek Chet and Perek Tet because it talks about Chesed. If we talk about Tzedek U'Mishpat, there's also this idea of Chesed that goes hand in hand with them. We can just quote a famous pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which we read in the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av Day, in Yirmiyahu Perek Tet, in the ninth chapter of Yirmiyahu, pasuk Chaf Bet, Kol Mar Hashem, chapter 9 in Yirmiyahu, verse 22, Kol Mar Hashem, Aitaleu Chacham B'Chochmato, Aitaleu Gibor B'Gvurotov, Aitaleu Asher B'Oshro, that a wise man should not boast about his wisdom, and a strong person, a Gibor, a strong warrior, shouldn't boast about how strong he is, and a rich man should not boast in his wealth. The Navi isn't saying it's not good to be strong or wealthy or wise. He's saying that's not your goal in life. That's not what you have to boast about. Kim bezoti taleo mitaleo. What should a person be proud of? Haskel v'yodoti. He should become wise and become and try to know God, to come close to God. Ki ani Hashem. What does God do? Oseh chesed mishpat utztaka baaretz. God does chesed mishpat utztaka on the land. Ki be'elech hafatzi nim Hashem. That's exactly what God wants. God wants us to do not only tzedek u'mishpat, but also filling out that concept is that concept of doing chesed. We'll see that idea over and over again in Nevi'im. Tzedek u'mishpat always comes together with chesed. And the next chapter in Perek Tet, which will be the transition between this unit and the next unit, which will be a rather difficult unit, where things go bad in the life of David. But it begins, Vayomer David achish od asher notar levit Shaul v'aseh imo chesed bavur Yonatan. David is looking to do chesed with the family of Shaul instead of wiping out the family that a regular monarch would do after kicking out someone else's monarchy and taking over. In a regular coup d'etat, you wipe out the royal family. David does everything possible to do chesed with the house of Shaul, and especially with the family of Yonatan, with whom he was so close. That story, how he does chesed, with the story of Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan, that we'll study in our next year, and we'll understand why the story of Mephibosheth and his Evet Siva, and how David takes care of him, on the one hand, it will be a beautiful transition of the chesed and tzedek mishpat that David does and is characterized by in the end of chapter 8, and how it begins as a background for what's going to take place in the next set of chapters, which we'll identify in our next year. Till then, I want to wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. The recording is taking place on Erev Shabbat Yitro. We're about to read Matan Torah, and next week will be Parshat Mishpatim. So I've tried to tie the shir into the themes of Parshat Shavuot as well. I'm not sure if we'll be able to do that every week, but this week it happened to work out very nicely. And we'll continue our study, Mirtz Hashem, next week with Prakim Yud through Chaf.